Blog Talk Radio.
Dr. Martin Luther King. Thank you very kindly, my very dear friends. These churches are really loaded tonight. Never in the history of this nation have so many people been arrested for the cause of freedom and human dignity. You know there are approximately 2,500 people in jail right now. Now let me say this, the thing that we are challenged to do is to keep this movement moving. There is power in unity, and there's power in number. As long as we keep moving like we are moving, the power structure of Birmingham will have to give in. And we are probably nearer to a solution of this problem than we are able to realize. And don't worry about your children. They are going to be all right. Don't hold them back if they want to go to jail. For they are doing a job for not only themselves, but for all of America and for all mankind. Somewhere we read, a little child shall lead them. Remember, there was another little child, just 12 years old, and he got involved in a discussion back in Jerusalem as his parents moved down the dusty road leading them back to that little village of Nazareth. And when they got back and bothered him and touched him and wanted him to move on at that moment, he said, I must be about my father's business.
All right.
These young people are about their father's business. And they are carving a tunnel of hope through the great mountain of despair. And they will bring to this nation a newness and a genuine quality and an idealism that it so desperately needs. Now we are going to see that they are treated right. Don't worry about that. The Justice Department is already in here. And they don't have some small fish from the Justice Department. They have some of the big fish in here. We are reminding them at all times that these persons are political prisoners. And there's a distinction between a political prisoner and somebody who's there for getting drunk, or somebody who's there for engaging in a robbery. And we're going to see that they are treated right. And go on and not only fill up the jails around here, but just fill up the jails all over the state of Alabama if necessary. Keep this movement going. Keep this movement rolling. In spite of the difficulties, and we're going to have a few more difficulties, keep climbing. Keep moving. If you can't fly, run. If you can't run, walk. If you can't walk, crawl. But by all means, keep moving.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, friends and enemies. I just want to welcome everybody to another exciting broadcast. I've been on a little hiatus, trying to do some research. What I want to do today is take questions about Rise of the Black Messiah, The Hidden Hand. But before I start, I want to send a message to our Father and thank Him for another opportunity to speak to His children. I also ask that He binds and bounds any demonic forces that try to hinder this broadcast. I thank Him for giving me the ability to speak and to maintain a humble heart. Thank you for my new friends, O Father, and continue to bless us with your wisdom. Now, I need to get a, I can hear you in the chat room to make sure that I'm coming in loud and clear, because lately when I've been doing the broadcast, I've been getting denial of services and this means that the broadcast seems to be hindered. I'm going to see if I can try to hear something. Who do we have in the chat room now? Let me see. Is Brother D there yet? Wait, hold on 1 second. Let me make sure my volume is up. I'm going to open up some... Okay, that's fine. I'm going to open some lines. And I'm going to see if people are on. Area code 404, do you hear me?
That's me, brother. How you doing today?
Okay, nice. I was just making sure that I can be heard. Okay,
yeah,
brother.
Loud and clear.
Okay, nice. I'm going to welcome... I like how this works. If you want to say something, you just raise your hand. And then when you raise your hand, Brother D will answer, and then we can answer your request. And, yeah, that's pretty much how it works. And make sure that if you have any questions for the Hidden Hand or any of the Rise of the Black Messiah series, you can present them here, or you can present them when we have our offline meetings on Skype. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to start picking the meetings back up like we used to have them, and I'm going to try to do them every week, and I'm also going to try – I'm going to have 1 week off so I can make sure I spend some time with the family and stuff, but I want to make sure that I'm online and available for people now. One thing I want to mention is that, like last year when the new year came, I was trying to explain to people that the new year – was actually officially started in April, because according to the Hebrews, April is the first month, which is actually the month of Abib, which falls between March and April. This is important because if we want to follow the Passover, okay, and that means it's 14 days after the beginning of the month of Abib. I have all that explanation on my Shabbat page. This is important because it lets us know where we are in the time schedule of these demonic idiots that are trying to destroy this planet. Also, if we can understand where we are, then we can look at their plan and look at what they're trying to do and therefore see where, you know, they are in their time schedule. I know that's a little bit confusing, but if you follow Rise of the Black Messiah and you understand that there's a hidden hand behind this, you understand that they actually have a time schedule. Now, understand that this month is actually the 11th month, and then next month is the 12th month, okay? And then we have the month of Adar, right, which would be within the 12th month, or and sometimes they have the 13 months. But understand we have the month of Adar, and then we have the month of Abib or Nisan. That will be the first month. Now, they confused us purposely in order to continue these plans while we are sleeping. Now, the Hebrews of the Sidi Yaakov that are awakened will be able to combat this deception if we can understand who we are, and then we can look at the times and dates and whether we pray to the Most High to intervene or whether we pray to be wakened up, then we can combat it. Okay? So, understand. The year 2012 did not really officially start yet, okay? The year 2012 starts in the month of Abib. We are in the 11th month, okay? So, anyway, I just wanted to make sure that's understood. And if you want to, if you doubt that, I ask you to please do your own research on the Babylonian calendar and do your research on the Hebrew calendar and understand that the 10th month is December. December 10, okay, the 11th month, and then the 12th month, 13th. All right, okay. Now, in saying that, what I want to do with this broadcast is there's a lot of things that have come to my attention dealing with researching these usurpers, and what I'm researching now is that issue with Palestine, okay, and the issue with all of the usurpers in Palestine. What's happening is we have this total purging of the lands of the Middle East. We have Egypt, Libya, and we have Syria about to get taken over, Tunisia, and all these areas if you look at the map, they were former Ottoman Empire, you know what I'm saying? And then they were taken over by the British, and then the land grab of the early 19th century and all that stuff. So this land was never really, it was always owned by the Europeans. So this is basically just smoke and mirrors right now. Egypt was totally taken over by Great Britain. That's always been Great Britain's ally. It's always been Great Britain's territory. Syria, Turkey. I mean, all these places that we think are these independent nations are nothing but areas of the colonialist. And they have all the power. So everything that's going on in the Middle East right now is just an illusion, you know? So we have to keep that in mind. And we also now, when we look at this Palestinian issue, there's a lot of things that we have to think about. And one of the things that I want people to look up is something called the Black Stone Memorial. Okay? I mentioned the Black Stone Memorial because the Black Stone Memorial is a document that was created in 1891, and it actually precedes the Balfour Agreement. Okay? And if people don't know what the Balfour Agreement is, that's when, the Zionists came in with this document after the war, World War One, and then they said, okay, you know, this is where we want. We want Palestine here, okay? But now what they did was, in order to make that have any weight to it, they actually used the Black Stone Memorial. And why is this important? Well, because the Black Stone Memorial was actually the document that was created by the Christian Zionist. Okay? The father of Zionism was not a Jew, but a Christian, Anglo-Saxon Christian. And this is why if we try to say something about, look, you guys have to recognize that the Hebrews of the Sidi Yaakov are of color, they would never do it because they are the ones that actually documented the fact, or the falsified the lie. I'm not going to say lie, the fact. Falsified the lie of these people that are calling themselves Jews. Now, I know those are some strong statements, but you have to know history, okay? If you don't know history, and you don't, I mean, let me just say this. What we're doing now is we are talking about things that are so unimportant, and we're arguing about things that are extremely trivial when we should be actually going towards the root. The root is this Black Stone Memorial, because what it does is it places another people in our position, and it makes the world look at these other people that call themselves Jews, while the people that are the ones that can really save them out of this predicament, they're looking down upon them, us. But the Christians will never admit that they've been wrong because they have a root in Christian Zionism. Now, the evangelism, okay, was going on since the 1800s. That's a long time. They've been going around. And if you look at the people that actually signed this Black Stone Memorial, you will notice that a lot of these people that signed it were in the elite circles. We have John D. Rockefeller. We have J.P. Morgan. Okay? We have Sears and Roebuck stores. Okay? Strauss, Levi Strauss. These are like the most powerful people, multimillionaires, that actually were signing this document. And this is how Israel became a state, based on these extremely powerful backers. Now, here's the thing. If the Christian Zionists really did read the word, then they would notice in Deuteronomy that these people that call themselves Jews do not match the curses at all. Because how can 1% of a people become the most powerful in a nation when they are supposed to be the tail, not the head? When they are not supposed to lend to us, okay? They're not supposed to be the lenders, but the ones that are in debt. Now, either this person, what is his name? Blackstone. Let me try to get his full name here. Let me see. His name was William Eugene Blackstone. Okay. Either he was a fool and didn't really know how to read scripture, or he just ignored the facts. Now, I'm not going to blame him completely, because at this time, we had something else going on, which is called white supremacy and racism. Now, white supremacy and racism, like I mentioned in my broadcast about the Hidden Hand, they were saying that the Hamanic people now are not even black. Okay? Now, anybody that can believe that craziness, all right, has to be, you can't really take them serious, because they don't even, you know, they're changing. First, they're Negroes, and they're not Negroes, and they're Hamites. I mean, y'all know where I'm coming from if you actually listen to that broadcast, and I advise you to listen to that. Okay, so the point I'm trying to make here, okay, without beating this to death, is that the Black Stone Memorial was all based on the Christian Zionism. The Christians that you see today are the children of that, okay? These are the offspring of this belief. If you go to a website called End Time, not End Times, endtime.com, you have a guy by the name of Baxter. He's like some minister, and I used to listen to him a while ago when I didn't have a clue. Okay, now I never believed in the rapture because I didn't think that made any sense. I said, well, how can somebody be raptured that caused all this hell? You know what I'm saying? When I see different hells going on throughout the planet, what makes one Christian better than another? You know what I'm saying? So when I saw that, the rapture didn't make much sense to me. This person here, William Eugene Blackstone, believes in the rapture. These Christian Zionists, their thought is this. They say, okay, what we have to do is we have to place the people of the book, the Jews, in the land of Israel, and then these people are going to build the temple, rebuild the temple, and then when they rebuild the temple, Jesus will come back. And then all of this world will be saved. Then there's going to be 1,000 years of peace. So they believe that what we have to do is we have to help the people of Israel, okay, the Jews, go back to their land. And then when they go back to their land, and then the heaven will open up, and we have this will bring forth 1,000 years of peace. Now, here's the problem. The problem is the people that they're trying to put into the seat are the same ones that killed the Messiah. Now, if these are the people that killed the Messiah, then who were these people? Did not Yahushua from his own mouth call them the seed of the serpent? Hello. If Yahushua said you are of the serpents, then how can these people be the ones that he is going to honor to go to Jerusalem and bring forth him back? Was he going to come back and say, oh, the ones that killed me, welcome? That don't make no sense. But the Christian Zionists think it makes sense. But one thing that they didn't do, they never read the Book of Maccabees. Now, in the Book of Maccabees, we actually know that it was the line of the Edomites that took over 200 years prior to the coming of the Messiah. So if they were already there, okay, during the time that the Messiah came, and he recognized them as the seed of the serpent, and they were still there after he died, being called Jews, okay? So therefore now, when that, you know, Emperor Hadrian came, and he tore down the temple, and made it illegal for circumcision, and basically chased the Jews from Jerusalem. Well, the Jews that were being chased from Jerusalem at that time, guess who they were? They were the Edomites. They were King Herod. Remember? King Herod was the Edomite. King Herod's the one that took over the seed of Yaakov in Maccabees. Remember this? When Yahushua went there and he saw that the fig tree had no figs on it, meaning we were gone, distributed. These are the people that are calling themselves Jews. When Hadrian came, he rebuilt the temple. He tore the temple down, and he built another temple. Guess what he called it? He called it the Temple of Jupiter. So that wall that you see them praying to is not the last remaining of the temple that was torn down in 70 AD. No, it was the temple of Jupiter that was built up by Hadrian. Okay? The wall of Hadrian, wall of Jupiter. This is what they're praying to. The people that are calling themselves Jews are not the Hebrews of the city Yaakov, but are the remnant of the Edomites, King Herod. Okay? And now we have the other people that we have to look at, and that's when the Council of Nicaea came into being, which is in 324 AD. What happened? We have the building of the Holy Roman Empire. And how did this come? Well, it killed the last remnant of the Nazarene, the people that were actually waiting for the Messiah to come, the true Hebrews of the city Yaakov, the ones that were wiped out because they had the truth, and then they were actually overtaken and got rid of and called Christians. And this is how the Holy Roman Empire came to be. And now what does the Holy Roman Empire do? They say, oh, we can create kings out of divine rule through the bloodline of Mary. Now, where does this bloodline of Mary come from? Well, now they're saying that the bloodline of Mary, okay, is the actual seed that's in the monarchy. So now we have more of these fake Jews. Now, how do we know that these Jews are not the true Hebrew? Well, because they're Caucasian. They're the wrong color. You got to look at the true seed. And this is why it's important that you have to know the true seed. Now, I know a lot of Christians out there are like, oh, this man doesn't know what he's talking about. Queen Victoria stated that she was of the seed of Benjamin. Oh, really? Well, if you look at the seed of Benjamin, you'll find out that the seed of Benjamin was more Amalekite than anything. But no one would understand that statement because they didn't look at that. Okay? Now, what I'm trying to tell you people out there that do not take the time to study and do not take the time to research is that if you just knew this information, you could boldly proclaim it. And then as you're boldly proclaiming it, force people to look at the history, and then we could change this world that is going into destruction overnight by the truth. The monarchy is not of the seed of Yaakov. The monarchy is of the seed of the Amalekites. Okay, we have the Charlie Mayne, and then we have the Holy Roman Empire ordaining popes through this bloodline. The Holy Roman Empire is telling everybody, hey, these are the ones that can rule over you because they are of the seed of Yahshua, but they're not of the seed of Yahshua. They're fake. And then just like the Edomites. Okay, now let's look at something else. We have the Edomites that are in this land. Now let's fast forward to when we have the Khazarian conversions. Now here's where people get confused. We have the Khazarian conversions and we have the Edomites. Okay, we also have two other individuals that call themselves Jews that are from actually the line of Japheth. We have the Sephardic Jews and we have the Ashkenazi Jews. Now, the Ashkenazis go back a long time. They've always been lying and stealing there, instilling our heritage, because they were the ones that were one of the first that actually came in during the time of the captivity. But they are not the Hebrews of the seed of Yaakov. Okay? But they have lots of money. But understand this. The German Jews, which is the Ashkenazi, had a hatred for the Khazarian Jews, the ones of Russia. Did anybody know that? They did not like each other. The Russian Jews are the ones that converted during the time of 900 AD. Or was it 900 AD? Or yeah, I believe it was 900 AD. They converted into the Khazarian Empire. And then these people were so powerful and rich that they were loaning to the monarchs at this time. 900 AD. Okay? I mean, we really have to understand this history now. And then we go fast. Let's fast forward into the time of the Tsar. And when all these problems are going on in Russia, that is the remnant of the Khazarians. But then we have the Germans, which are the Ashkenazis. And the ones that actually put us in slavery, which are the Sephardics. The Sephardic Jews are the ones that actually had us going in slavery. And who are the Sephardics? The Mattathai. Okay? Borgia. The only ones that could loan. Why? Because the Jews were not took advantage of that, actually were able to control this through finances. I mean, look, everything that I say, I can back up through history, and you have to be able to read it. It's pretty easy right now, okay? But what we have to understand is that the Edomites, okay, let's get back to this. The Edomites that we're looking at right now that are in the land of Israel, they are going to intermarry with the Ashkenazis and with the British Empire. Why, and how can I say that? Well, money marries money. Money marries money. There's always going to be intermarriages. There's going to be, like, if you follow the line of the Ashkenazis and the Sephardics, you find out that they went in with the German Empire, Habsburgs, and the Rothschilds, Wahlbergs. All of these families intermarried. They intermixed. And now they're what we call the Jews. But then we have the Ashkenazis, which is the most prominent of the Jews. They have all the money. They own everything. And people are blindly thinking that these are the Seed of Yaakov. And then we have this Christian Zionist movement, okay, which was sponsored by Blackstone, okay, and then we created the Blackstone Memorial in 1891, not understanding that the people that are the true Hebrews of the Seed of Yaakov are enslaved, who are the lowest people in the land, who can't loan to anybody, who are looked down upon as slaves, actually match the scriptures of Abraham, who says they will be in bondage for 400 years. But he overlooks that. Why? Because white supremacy does not allow a person to see that. He thinks that he is above it because of his pride and arrogance, but he cannot see that the Most High does not work with money. The Most High is meek. Yahshua was meek. He didn't come here wealthy. What was the one thing Yahshua did? He turned over the money changers. That's the only time he got violent, when he went off in that temple. He hated money. I mean, why would he use all of the money of the World Trade Organization, the IMF, to destroy this world? Why would he go into Libya, okay, and kill Gaddafi and take his 140 tons of gold? Now, do you think the Most High would want to be represented by that? Think about this now. These are the Seed of Yaakov, supposedly. They are representing the Most High. The Christian Zionists are backing them 100%. And they are approving of the IMF, the World Bank, indentured servitude that they're putting upon the world. They are supporting this whole economic takeover of these people. Now, what is it that the Seed of Yaakov is supposed to be doing? The Seed of Yaakov are supposed to be teaching of the honesty of the Most High, the righteousness of the Most High. This is what we're supposed to be teaching, what they're supposed to be teaching. The Ten Commandments are the law that helps us maintain a beautiful society. They broke every one of them. What was the promise? The promise said, "You shall be priest unto me." That means that they are supposed to teach the beauty of the Most High. This is what a God is like. Not Jupiter, not Mercury, not Zeus, not Athena. Okay? Yahshua. Listen. When Yahshua came, okay, he was a fulfillment of that covenant. He was a fulfillment to teach the world who the Creator was. And instead of accepting him, they killed him. But it was actually fulfilled, because if those thieves did not hijack the movement of the Nazarenes, then there would not be a Christianity. If there would not be a Christianity, then the word of the Hebrews would not have spread throughout the globe, because they spread out the world through colonialism and taking over the Seed of Yaakov. They didn't even know what they were actually doing was doing the work of Yaakov. But now that they realize they made a mistake, okay, they do not want to admit that the Sidi Yaqob is actually the slaves that were brought and spread out throughout the world. Okay? Now, before I keep yakking, I'm going to bring the D in to make sure that I'm heard and if I'm coming in clear. Brother D, you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. You're coming in loud and clear, brother. It's nice flow. Your information is great, man.
Okay.
You're doing a good job here.
All right. Let me know if somebody wants to ask any questions or if you want to...
I'm watching that. Yes, I'm watching it now. I don't have anybody right now.
Okay, brother. Okay. Well, I'm just going to keep yakking. If anybody wants to say something, you can type your question into the chat room or you can raise your hand. Okay, brother.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to keep going since I'm on the flow now. I just want people to know that what I'm saying here is about this, I came to this conclusion through deep research and thought and just being humble and trying to understand what is it that we're supposed to be doing. If we look around, we see that Congress has now signed a law that they can detain anybody and kill anybody around the world. And then they're talking about shutting off the internet and all this stuff. And all this stuff is basically fear-mongering. They want us to be scared, like we don't have any power. But we do have power. Yo, I got 20,000 views, over 15,000 downloads, okay? 15,000 downloads. The Most High has already got his word out there. It only takes one person to take this to the next level. One person to take this to the next level. Okay? 10 times better than me. All we need to do is have that fire to do it. Now, there is no doubt in my mind, in my soul, in my spirit, that we are the true seed of Yaqob. Because nobody else on this earth matches us. Okay? Nobody does. But we have to know that. And there's something else happening that I'm going to have to address. And I'm actually researching it now. And it's quite controversial. But it shouldn't be. Because what it is, it's a stumbling block. And unfortunately, a lot of us are stumbling on it. And that's this new film coming out called Asher. Okay? Now, the Asher film is supposed to follow the biblical Hebrews and the ones that are in New York. Okay? Now, I remember a long time ago when I first started doing these broadcasts, I didn't know anything about these brothers, and I said, well, these brothers remind me of the Hashmoneans because they came out boldly and they're yelling and they're just speaking boldly about stuff. But I didn't really understand when they start talking about the Hebrews are these different tribes in Haiti and Dominican Republic and in Argentina and Mexico. I couldn't understand that, but I said, well, they must be talking about when the slaves were brought to the United States, they were distributed in all these areas. And then I said, well, wow, how did they know that? Because we were on the ship. And if we were on the ship, how did they know which tribe went to where? And I was a little bit confused about it. But I didn't think about it because I was constantly focusing on these other usurpers, which is the Ashkenazis. Okay? And I wanted to make sure that people knew that these people were not the ones because they didn't match scripture. And I was carefully going through every single point that I can bring forward to prove that they're not the people. Now, when these brothers are talking about the 12 tribes being spread out through the United States, you know, and now that I'm actually looking at this, because now it's going to be serious because we got Danny Glover and Michelle Pfeiffer going to play in this movie, so it's going to be big. Now, if we don't get it right, okay, if we don't get this right, then they're going to cause a lot of stumbling blocks for those that are going to now realize that they are the Hebrews of the Sidiakol, and then they're going to look at this information thinking that it's honest. Now, what if this information is incorrect? Okay? What if this information is incorrect? What's going to happen then? Now, here's a little bit of a something to consider. This movie is being promoted and produced by a child of the Spanish line, right? So the Spanish are the ones that were the first that put us into captivity. They are called the Sephardic Jews. The Sephardic Jews were all throughout South America, all throughout Mexico, you know, all throughout the islands that we call the Caribbeans, okay? They are the ones that first got us on those ships. Now, why would a offspring of the Sephardics give detailed information that is going to be positive for us, that is going to discredit his people, putting money into it?
Shall we? Hello? Can anybody hear me out there? Can anybody hear me out there?
Hey, brother, I was cut off.
You bet. Okay, because it just said I was cut off too. Are you back? Hello?
Hello?
It's breaking up. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay, now, obviously I'm hitting on something, or else I wouldn't get cut off.
That's right.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play something, and then I'll be right back, okay? A song, and then I'm going to come back in.
Dear Master Swill, what it was, I have done my Liza leap and am safe in the arms of Canada. So ain't no use of your slave catchers waiting on me at Trailways. I won't be there. I flew in non-stop jumbo jet this AM. Had champagne. Compliments of the captain, who announced that a runaway Negro was on the plane. Passengers came up and shook my hand, and within 10 minutes, I had signed up for 3 anti-slavery lectures. Remind me to get an agent. Traveling in style beats craning your neck after the North Star and hiding in the bushes anytime, Massa. Besides, your Negro dogs of Hayes and Allen Stock can't fly. By now, I suppose that yellow Judas Cato done told you that I have snuck back to the plantation 3, maybe 4 times since I left the first time. Last visit, I slept in your bed and sampled your cellar. Had your prime quadroon give me she-bear. Yes, yes. You was away at a slave auction at Ryan's Mart in Charleston, and so I knowed you wouldn't mind. Did you have a nice trip, Massa? I borrowed your cotton money to pay for my ticket and to get me started in this place called Saskatchewan. Brr, it's cold up here. But at least nobody is collaring, hobbling, gagging, handcuffing, yoking, chaining, and thumbscrewing you like you're their hobby horse. The mistress, Miss Lady, give me the combination to your safe. Don't blame the feeble old soul, Captain. I told her you needed some more money to shop with, and you sent me from Charleston to get it. Don't worry, your employees won't miss it, and I accept it as a down payment on my back wages. I must close now, Massa. By the time you get this letter, old Sam will have probably took you to the deep six. That was rat poison I left in your old crow. Your boy, Quickskill.
Everybody in the chat room, give us a second. They keep kicking us out. You should be in 1 second. He'll be on in 1 second. Just give us a chance here.
Hello?
Okay, we got you back, brother?
Yeah, I had to call in from a landline.
Okay.
Y'all hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay. Yeah, this is typical. You know what I'm saying? It's pretty typical, but it's all right.
Okay, I'm going to have to ask you to start that again because it was good. We know why you got cut off.
Okay. Well, let me first. I wasn't able to listen for the last few minutes. Were you saying anything, or was it just dead air?
It was dead. It kicked us off both. It kicked us off again. I know.
Wow.
you were talking about why would a Sephardic Jew give us the correct information?
Okay, when
you were talking
exactly.
About the movie. That's where you stopped.
Okay, all right, exactly. Now this is important. If it wasn't important, Brother D and myself wouldn't get kicked off. Now I'm gonna tell y'all something. I called into the show not on a regular computer line, because I knew that if I called on my regular line, it usually gets flooded. So I said, well, let me try a different route. So I'm not even on a regular computer line that I'm using at my house. So someone was able to actually turn the computer that I was using off. Now, that's illegal, okay? You're not even allowed to do that, of course. But somehow I was cut off in Brother D. So it's just to let people know that what I'm saying is very important, okay? And I wish you would listen to it. I know you are. I know you're listening, you know what I'm saying? But it's at the point now where, like Brother Hayward said, we already won, okay? It's just a matter of how many of us are going to win. We've already won, but how many are going to win? These brothers out here on the street do not know it, but they are stumbling blocks. Now, I would love this. I would love to get the strongest brothers out there on the road for an actual debate. Bring all they got. I'm willing to go there myself and debate these brothers in Scripture about these 12 tribes. I'm putting it out there right now, live, because I'm confident in the Most High. I'm confident in the Most High's word. I know I'm right in this. There ain't no way in hell that the 12 tribes are these Mexicans and Argentinians and Dominicans and all this. That's just foolishness. And I'm going to tell you why. Because if we accept that these people, these Native Americans, Hawaiians, Chileans, Argentinians are the people, then we ignore our brothers and sisters that are suffering today in Africa. If the 12 tribes actually were pushed down towards Africa, if they settled in the areas of Zimbabwe, in the Congo, in South Africa, in Angola, in all of the west coast of Africa, which they did because it was stated that they did so. If they settled there and these people are having a free-for-all and killing us, then we are ignoring our brothers and sisters in Africa and paying attention to the ones over here in Argentina. Now, I'm going to use Argentina as an example. Do you know that they actually wiped out damn near 99% of the black people in Argentina? They used them for the wars. They gave them diseases. They totally wiped them out. It was so bad that when a woman had a passport and said she's from Argentina, they say, wait, there's no black people in Argentina. Now, if this is the case, do your research, brothers on the street, talking about we from Argentina, the Hebrews or whatever. If this is the case, then who's left in Argentina if they wiped out all the black people? That means you're calling the Sephardic Jews the seed of Yaakov. Well, then you go right back into what they're saying, that they are the seed of Yaakov, ignoring the fact that they're actually the Sephardic Jews. They are the ones that actually killed Yahushua. They're the ones that actually put us into bondage. Now, you mean to tell me now, 2012, they're going to get Danny Glover, Michelle Pfeiffer, to actually play in a production in Hollywood? Who owns Hollywood? Hello. You're going to take the money of the Ashkenazi and the Sephardic to put up there to represent us? Now, please, let's do this debate. Let's bring your strongest brothers. Bring your research. Let's start with Dominica and Haiti. You know why? Because my grandfather's from Haiti. So I should be proud. Hey, I'm a Levite. That means I'm a priest. I'm the Levitical line. So at the end of the day, if I am Levitical line, that means you got to listen to me. If it's proven that the seed of Yaakov is in Haiti, then that means I'm a Levite. So now you got to listen because now I'm the priest. You see what I'm saying? It's ridiculous. It's stupidity. Okay? We have to cool it with this craziness. Now, what we really need to be doing is pay attention what's going on in Africa. Our people are dying. They chopped off 10 million hands in the Congo. The Belgians did that. Why did they do that? Do you think they just cut off the hands and tried to kill us off because they just wanted to have labor? They only had one hand to work with? Why would you destroy your labor force like that? Why would you chop off one hand of a person? You have half a force. You destroy your own labor force. That's stupid. They wanted to wipe us out. They didn't even call it racism or genocide. It was only called genocide during the Holocaust. You see, our struggle was ignored. It's always been ignored. Okay? Now, I'm going to bring Brother D in because I'm going to need some backup on this one. And I'm going to ask him a question. Brother D?
I'm here, brother.
Okay, now, am I coming in loud and clear?
Yes, loud and clear.
Okay. Now, I have one question.
Mm-hmm.
This movie's called Asher, right?
Right.
Can you do me a favor?
Yes.
Can you explain to the people who Asher really is?
Okay. So 1 second.
Okay. Now, while you're looking at it, I'm going to explain to people something. Brother D and I speak a lot, damn near every day. And we talk about 2-3 hours a day. And we talk so much because we're actually getting into this research, and we're looking at the core of this all, the core of this all, the core of all of this. And we're actually tracing the true journey of the 12 tribes. And I came at it on a different angle, and he came at it on a different angle, and we found that the tribes were actually in Africa. They've always been in Africa. And from Africa, they were spread out through the four corners of the world. They're not in Argentina. If they were in Argentina, they were there because they were brought there from Africa. Okay? Now, what Brother D is going to do, who is the actual expert in this field, he's actually 10 times more smarter than me in this because he comes at it with a different angle. He has been listening to these researchers. He understands it. He spends hours studying this stuff, okay? So I'm going to let Brother D just give you one example of Asher, okay? Are you ready, Brother D?
Yeah, I'm just going to go over just a couple of things that I've heard that about the tribe of Asher.
Okay, go ahead, brother.
Hugo Chavez, whoever down there in Argentina or whatever. That's supposed to be Asher because they've got oil, petroleum, and they take that from Genesis 49:20 and Deuteronomy 33:24-25. But I'm going to start at Genesis 49:20. This is Jacob talking to his sons. He's telling them what was going to happen to them in the latter times.
Okay.
Genesis 49:20. Out of Asher, his bread shall be fat. He shall yield royal dainties. Now, what I want to focus on here is it says, his bread shall be fat, all right? So I'm looking up, that's Hebrew word 3899, bread. That's food, bread, or grain, food. We're talking about food here. It says his bread shall be fat. Fat, that's Hebrews 80:82. That's greasy. That is gross, fat, lusty. So we're talking about food here. His bread shall be fat, all right? Okay,
yeah.
And it says he shall yield royal dainties. Well, you can go in Joshua and find out what the tribe of Asher did every month when they built the temple. We know that they gave food every month to the temple. All right, but I'm going to Deuteronomy. Now, remember the Hebrew word fat here now. Fat, 80:82, greasy. All right, Deuteronomy 33:24. This is Moses talking to the tribes. Moses said, and of Asher, he said, let Asher be blessed with children. Let him be acceptable to his brethren. Now, let him dip his foot in oil. Now, when we got, I went back to oil. I showed you fat, but the Hebrew word for oil, okay, that's 80:80, okay, 80:81, and that's grease. Liquid, as from the olive, often perfume. Okay, this is 80:81 says 80:80. That is that's oily or gross. Remember, that's the word for let his bread be fat. But it says here let him dip his foot in oil. This oil here is Hebrews 80:81, brother. It's talking about olive oil. This is talking about something we eat. And if we keep reading in Deuteronomy 33:25, thy shoes shall be iron and brass as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Brother, we are not supposed to be walking around here with oil wells, okay? Because if we're walking around with oil wells, then you just throw Deuteronomy 28 out the window. Just throw it out the window. Throw it out completely, because clearly this is talking about food here. And the land of Asher was known for olives, olive groves. They were next to the seacoast. That land was very fertile. You can go look this up. Anybody can go look this up. It's talking about olive oil.
Now, I have a question. Where is the land of Asher? What country?
Brother, that's over there in Israel.
Okay.
So how did Israel get in Argentina all of a sudden?
No, I'm looking at their map, brother, because we want to make sure they know.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
They say, now here, according to Judah Negroes, Afro-Americans, it says Reuben is in, Reuben is the Simeon Indians. Okay, I guess that's North America. Simeon, right? Simon is Dominican Republic. Levi is Haiti. Judah is African Americans. Dan is Cuba. Okay, now not before I heard that Dan was Denmark, but now it's Cuba. Nephilim is Argentina and Chile. Okay, so now they're saying, according to this, in Nephilim, Gad is North American Indians, Cherokee, Apache, you know. And then we have Asher. Now, Asher, they're saying, is Peru and Brazil, the Inca. Issachar is Mexico, the Aztecs. Zebulun is Guatemala, Panama. These are the Mayan Indians, okay, the Mayans, the ones that were, like, you know, tearing out people's hearts and worshiping the god of Jupiter. This is supposed to be us. That's an insult. Okay, Joseph, Ephraim, and Manasseh is Puerto Rico and, what is it called? I don't even read that. Benjamin is the West Indians, Guyana. Okay. Now this is this. So Asher. Now, if they're applying this to oil, how much oil is in Peru and Brazil, according to this? And because some people say it's Argentina or is it Venezuela?
Venezuela. I say well one of these. One of these teachers said, basically, anybody with oil.
So anybody with oil now.
What does that mean? Anybody with oil.
And, brother, remember
so
you were telling
me. They got oil in Nigeria, don't they?
Yeah, they got oil in Nigeria. Now, ask me this. How rich are they in Nigeria? You know what I'm saying? Do they run their own oil? Is Goodluck Johnson giving them oil? Didn't we just hear that they had a revolt because they're going to cut their oil subsidiaries? Now, how they going to own that? How rich are you if you can't even control your own oil? People rioting. Who does Goodluck Johnson work for?
It doesn't make sense because you can't teach Deuteronomy 28 and then teach the 12 tribes. Now, let me back away from Asher for just 1 minute. Can I deal with something obvious right here? I want to go back to Genesis 49 and... I'm gonna go back to Genesis 49, okay? And see, this is what they won't focus on when they teach this. Genesis 49 and 5. This is Jacob talking to Simeon and Levi.
Okay.
And Simeon and Levi are brethren. Instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. O my soul, come not thou into their secret, unto their assembly, mine honor. Be not thou united, for in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they dig down a wall. Okay, before I go on there, let me tell you what this is talking about. Simeon and Levi, if you go back to Genesis, the 34th chapter, they were in this town, and these guys, you know, they raped Dinah, and
yep.
Simeon and Levi went off. They just cut up. Took their machetes and knives, just cut up everything. Now, when you listen to these 12 tribe teachers, this is what they say now. This is not me making this up. Simeon and Levi are brethren, instruments of cruelty in their habitations, witchcraft. Now, brother, where are you getting witchcraft? This, okay, I'm going to move on. You see the foolishness in this, okay? I'm going to Genesis 49 and 7. Cursed be their anger, because this is the verse that they won't deal with when they teach this. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. This is what they don't want to teach. They don't want to break this part down. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. You get that? I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. Now, did that happen? And when did that happen?
Yeah, now listen to this. What I get from that is that if they were divided in Judah and scattered in Israel, that means they cannot be in one place. They have to be scattered throughout all the tribes, right?
And brother, that happened. And you know, do you know when that happened? I'm gonna take you to Joshua, the 19th chapter.
Okay.
I'm gonna tell you what happened with Simeon right now. Okay.
Huh?
Now, this is the land proportionments for the tribes. Okay. I'll take you to Joshua 19:1. It says, and the second lot came forth to Simeon, even for the tribe of the children of Simeon, according to their families. And their inheritance was within the inheritance of the children of Judah. You get that? Their inheritance was within the inheritance within Judah. Now, this is Simeon on Judah's land, scattered about, okay? Now, we know what happened with the Levite. They didn't have land. They were the priests.
Yep.
They were given little towns, and they were provided for, and they were scattered all throughout. See, they were divided, brother, and they were scattered. Right there, you go to Joshua, 19th chapter. You can read in Joshua about Levi in the 14th chapter.
So, brother,
they
now
were scattered and divided. Now,
to cut in here real quick, because I want to back something. I'm going to ask a question. So now, what you're saying is that Levi and Simeon were also divided amongst the nations, right? Amongst the tribes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's something that's interesting. Those two particular tribes that you mentioned, Simeon and Levi, are actually, according to this graph here, Dominican Republic and Haiti. So now supposed to believe that Simeon and Levi that were scattered throughout all the nations, according to scriptures, if you read scriptures, this is what it says. According to this teaching that these 12 tribes are telling us, Dominican and Haiti. Now, here's something that kind of contradicts what they're saying. Wasn't Dominican Republic and Haiti called Hispaniola prior to it being called Dominican Republic and Haiti, right?
Right.
So if it was Dominica, if it was Hispaniola prior to it being Dominican Republic in Haiti, then that means the slaves that went there were just brought there from all over Africa, because this was a port, wasn't it not?
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't it like a holding ground? Wasn't the West Indies the port, and then they took the slaves to North America and South America and wherever? Wasn't it like a place where they actually sold us there? Okay.
Sure.
So, so the question is, if this is Hispaniola and didn't turn into Haiti and Dominican Republic until after, then how do we get Levi on one side of the island and Simeon on the other side of the island?
And if Simeon was in the Northern Kingdom and they supposedly came over here before, you know, the slave trade, and they stopped off at the island, you know, just drop us off over here on this island, and we're going to get over here on this side of the island right here. Did the slave traders say, look, I got Levi on these four ships right here. I need you to drop them off on the island over there with his brother Simeon? Brother, it doesn't make sense, okay? It's retarded.
Yeah.
It is. But if you never stop to ask these questions, and you take what's given, and you don't ask these people to break this stuff down completely, you will believe it, and you will defend them because you can't break it down. So you'll defend that ignorance.
I hate to keep interrupting, but I need to interject here because I want people to realize something. Somebody has decided to spend money on a movie here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? something so easily found in scriptures, somebody deciding to spend big money, get Danny Glover, and am I saying his name right, Mekhi Phifer?
Mm-hmm. Mekhi Phifer, yeah.
Mekhi Phifer, and get Mekhi Phifer to actually be in this movie. They're going to get the old and the young, and they're going to make a Hollywood production getting funding right now to make a movie to tell us that Haiti and the Dominican Republic are Levi and Simeon. Now, brother, what do you think is going on here?
Well, they're making that movie on Asher. Now, do you think anybody's going to come and make a movie based on this teachings of the 12 tribes? Do you really think anybody will come and make a movie and tell you that the so-called Negroes here in North America is Judah? You will never see that movie. Don't hold your breath. And why is that? Why is that? You have to ask yourself these questions. You will never see a movie. Well, they're showing that the so-called Negroes are supposed to be Judah.
Mm.
Don't wait for that movie.
Not in Hollywood.
No. Now... Flags. Now the flag should go up.
Mm-hmm.
Then what's up with this movie?
Well, you know what I advise? I advise all the brothers and sisters out there, do your own study on Asher.
That's
ask
all you have to do.
Question. Is this olive oil or is this petroleum oil? Just start with Asher. And then go by every tribe.
Every tribe after that. You'll be surprised what happens when you do your own research. You'll be surprised.
Okay, now, but, you know, what we're going to do, though, Brother D, because I don't think this is good enough. I think people really need to see it. So I'm going to, after I finish, this research with the Balfour Agreement and the Blackstone Memorial and all this stuff, I'm just going to concentrate strictly on the 12 tribes.
Okay.
And I'm going to start doing another series on the 12 tribes again. And then I'm really going to break this down for people because, you know, it's late in the day, and the only thing you got to lose, the only thing that I'm going to lose is being wrong. Now, if I'm wrong, I win. Okay? How do I win if I'm wrong? Well, because then I learn something. If I find out that the Dominicans and the Haitians are actually Levi and Simeon, then, hey, let's get to work. Let's wake them up. Let's say, hey, we got work to do. Let's do this together. Do you know who you are? You know, and then they wake up to who they are, and then, boom, problem solved. But if they're not, then we got work to do in Africa. Okay? They are trying to kill us and wipe us out before we can even get the word out. This is how important this is. I don't mind being wrong. If this brother wants to challenge me to debate, if they do, when they actually want to get on and we can actually start talking this and ironing this out and actually finding who we are, I don't lose if I lose the debate. Not in this. Okay? We are destroyed by the lack of knowledge. If we gain knowledge by them saying I'm wrong, and I'm happy because now we found out who we are. It's all about finding out who we are. And the ultimate winner in this are those that are seeking the truth. Those are the ultimate winners. Okay, bro, I'm sorry for interrupting me.
No, that's it. I agree with you on that, brother. You just want the truth.
That's
My point was we have to research ourselves. I mean, you can play these shows, these YouTube, this blog talk, this Ustream. You can do that all day. Did you open up one book? How many questions did you ask? And see, it goes deeper into this mind control,
yeah.
This religious mind control. We change names and garments. We switch the people around, but we still deal with mind control. So we say, oh, we'll wait, we know who we are. But we're still operating with that mind control blueprint.
Yeah.
We have to ask questions. And if we don't ask these questions, we'll continue in our ignorance. And the majority of us will die in our ignorance.
Yep.
So I don't mind that I may offend or I come against some cookie cutter doctrine that, you know, so easy to teach and that's the way it is. If it's got holes in it, I will ask the question.
Yep.
And if I'm wrong, then I will be corrected gladly, and I will submit to that correct teaching. But if it's wrong, if it's got holes in it, then they should be able to answer those questions and not run away from it. Forget about the name calling. I don't care about the name calling. Just break it down properly. That's all I ask.
I heard that.
Let me look and see. We got... I don't see anybody. Nobody has their hands up, so.
Okay, no, it's okay.
You got something else you want to add, brother?
Yes, I do. Okay. I want to reemphasize the importance of understanding who the people are.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said before, I'm going to say it again. If the people, the Hebrews of the city Yagob, are in Africa, and we're sitting here saying, we ain't no Africans, or I'm not no Negro or you know, whatever derogatory remark that we have been programmed to say through our programming in this white supremacist world, if we continue to look down upon our brothers and sisters in Africa as they're dying of AIDS, as they're dying of starvation, as they're being killed through the Islamic factions, talking about how they need to be wiped out because they're terrorists, okay? If we continue to look down on our brothers and sisters, what's going to happen is we are sitting back as they are dying when they are actually of the true seed of Yaakov. But now we are waking up here in the United States, and we have the ability, okay, to use this internet and actually have a voice through our democracy to speak out and to protect our brothers and sisters. But instead of doing that, we're using false teachings, okay? False teachings that we have been given through the other brothers that have been waking up here in the United States of America. Well, actually, I'm in Europe now, but have been waking up the United States of America to speak freely. And instead of us protecting our brothers and sisters who cannot speak for themselves, okay, we are calling them, just African or Negro. You know what I'm saying? Calling them derogatory things. I don't even know because I don't say that. Okay, I don't say it because I love my brothers and sisters, all of them. You know what I'm saying? I love all my brothers and sisters. I don't look down on none of them. You know, we want to separate ourselves as Hamites and Shemites, and those of Shem and all that craziness. These are our brothers and sisters. Okay, Ham and Shem will always mix in. Go look through Abraham, Judah, always. Black is black, okay? Black is black. Now, when we go down to Africa, we have to look and see that these are our people. We cannot say they're Argentinian. We cannot say that they're Mexican. We cannot say that they're Native American. Now, let me make sure I make myself clear. They are our brothers and sisters as brothers in the humanity, okay? I love the Native Americans. I love the Mexicans. I love Puerto Ricans, okay? My brother's a Puerto Rican. I grew up with Puerto Ricans, okay? Raphael, I got a good brother from Puerto Rico. He's like, I speak Puerto Rican, okay? So it's nothing against them as people because, you know, we're all one human race. But only one race was actually placed here upon this earth with a job to do. And that's what this all comes down to. One people were placed here on this earth with a job to do, and that job was to be priest of the Most High and express the beauty and love and understanding and the reality of the Creator. That's the job. Now, if the Puerto Rican brothers are to do that, then do it. If the Argentinians are to do that, then do it. But if they can't do it because they're not the people, then what we're doing with our democracy is telling them to wake up when they're telling us, no, we're not them. But if we go to Africa and we say to, let's say a person that's in the Congo or Guyana, and we say, you are of the seed of Yaakov. Look at where it says this. Look at how you've been suffering. Look in the Ivory Coast, and we say, look, how you don't even own your own resources. How you have the IMF, they have the foot on your neck, okay? The IMF has its foot on your neck. You can't even control your own resources. All throughout Africa, if we start telling these people who they truly are and why they are in that predicament, then Africa can rise up. Africa can call on the Most High and say, we are the people. We are the ones that you gave your word to. We are the ones that you said are to be the priests of the Most High. But
you got a call, bro.
Okay, but if we don't express that, then how are they ever going to wake up? They don't have the ability to do it. I mean, they took away the cell phones when they took out Gaddafi. I'm not saying they ain't got cell phones, but you know what I'm saying. Gaddafi spent, he was going to spend $500 million to actually get Africa in the first world technology, but they took care of that. They killed Gaddafi. All right, let's answer this call, brother.
Eight oh four. Go ahead, brother.
Before you have a question.
Peace, brother Daweed.
Oh, peace, man. Who am I speaking to?
Bro, JoJo.
Hey, JoJo, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing okay. They're trying to deal with reality for what it is, right?
Okay.
All right. Now, my question is this, right? Now, see, I know who and what I am, right? I don't have to wear that on my sleeve, right? But we know there's a lot of people uninformed, right?
Yeah.
Okay, now, we've been tied down for, what, 390 or something, 400 years? So we don't know our scriptures.
Yeah, true. True.
Now, it was first revealed in Aramaic, right?
Yep.
According to the book. Then Greek, yeah. Latin, then English.
Yeah.
Now, I put the question to the brother. Now, can't nobody amongst us go in the original scriptures if we know where they at and translate it into English or match it up with today's English? Because, see, is there something in my spirit saying that? Because, see, we know this Zionist, where those people over in Israel, they done took over everything, just to make it real short. So if they done took over everything, what make us think that they didn't go in the book and put their mark over everything and manipulate prophecy? Because, see, when you look in the book of Revelations, it's only one solution, Revelation chapter 12, where those going to be led into the wilderness. Other than that, then you got the 144,000. Then other than that, you know, it's like the righteous going to be, you know, at the hands of the wicked. But seeing like the righteous don't want to deal with reality. See, I refuse to take that Bible for what it is. Because I'm thinking that those Sabbatean Jews, now, they're like Bibi Netanyahu came on here, his last visit. Don't you know he got 29 standing ovations?
Mm-hmm.
And you see what I'm saying? So, United States done sold out hook, line, and sinker. Now, who's to say that these people don't have their mark in this book?
Okay, now let me comment on that real quick. Because you hit on a point, a very great point. But this is what we have to understand. First of all, we cannot underestimate the power of the Most High.
That's what I'm saying.
Now, the second thing is, what you are saying is the beginning stages of becoming a master researcher. Because when you start to question what they say is the word, you say, no, 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 no. Let me make sure what you're talking about. Let me put this through a filter. Now, how do we put it through a filter? Well, first of all, the 1611 version wasn't the only version that was written. Now, here, Brother JoJo, is where we got to think. Now, understand that this book was not allowed to be read by nobody but those in the position of power, the priests, the bishops, the controllers. Nobody could read. So they didn't have the threat of actually taking this scripture and twisting it. They only needed to twist it enough so they can take control. These people didn't know exactly what they were reading. They didn't understand prophecy. All they wanted to do was get rich and control the resources. It's always been that way. You get the average Jew, and you tell him to break down the word for you, he's not going to know what to do because he only studied the first five books of the Torah. What is it, Genesis, Deuteronomy, Leviticus, Numbers? They only studied Joshua. What is it, Genesis, Exodus? Yeah, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Just those five. And in out of those five books, they don't even study Deuteronomy to understand what it means. They don't understand the prophecy. So let me finish real quick. So what I'm trying to say is that during the, let's say, the 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th centuries, okay, when the book was started, was translated into the English, it was now being put in a place where the average man was allowed to read it. When that happened, we had Martin Luther. We had the Reformation. They started to say, wait a minute, you're hypocrites. You're not even doing what you're supposed to be doing in this book. Now, this is the key. If the average man and women back then revolted against what the Catholic Church was giving, then that means they left something in the book that destroyed themselves. If they're going to leave something in the book that's going to destroy themselves, then this book cannot be thrown away because there's truth in it. The truth is there for us to find. All of these books, the Apocrypha books, okay, book like the Book of Maccabees, okay, the Book of Jubilees, the Book of Enoch, all these different books, they have the truth in them, but the average usurper is clueless. Now, understand this. It was translated from the Aramaic, right? Then we have the Babylonian Hebrew. We have the Greek. We have the Latin. We have the English, okay? Although it was translated over, just recently now, brother, they found the Dead Sea Scrolls, the Essenes, all these books in 1948, they found them, and they are matching up with the books that they found that they were translating. So what does this mean? This means that there are books there that prove that they didn't change them because they were founding books in caves that were written around 300 B.C., okay? The word is there for us to find, but we have to be smart enough. Now, here's where we have to come in. We have to be smart enough to understand history, our history, and get away from this mind control. So
exactly.
Then we know how to read this. Yeah, we know how to read this book. We know how to read it.
But you know what my take is? Now, this is my take. Now, I believe that this Bible here, now, the Bible could be 99%, you know, to the point, exactly and right. I mean, you know, right, you know. But this Sabbatean Jew, this Zionist, I believe he done fixed it up, whereas everything gonna lead to Jerusalem. I was trying to find that verse in the way it said, where Zechariah, I don't know what's in the book of Zechariah, where this mighty army gonna come up against Israel in this day and time, and fire is gonna come out of the sky. Nowhere it said the soldiers' eyeballs gonna melt out of their eyeball sockets, and the skin gonna melt off their flesh.
That's Zechariah. Yeah.
Okay, I couldn't find it for nothing. I thought it was in Zechariah.
Zechariah, yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right.
But see, I think Zachariah telling us something here that this Zionist setting up this trap where when fire come down out of the sky, we gonna think God did that for them Zionists over there. When actuality they did it, cause we know they got laser payloads up there. That's why I believe where all the religions going to come together, all the nations going to come in line behind the Zionists, the grand deception. That's my take on it.
Well, it's a good take, JoJo, because...
Can I add to what he's saying?
Yeah, definitely, brother.
Yeah, Brother JoJo, I know what you're saying, brother. This is why I started my research over again,
uh-huh.
because we refuse to admit that they put their fingers on that KJV. We refuse to admit it, and you know what? They did. But they did. Because what I'm saying is supposed to be blasphemous. Oh, don't say that. You speaking again. Brother, if we went to sleep, what were they doing while we were asleep?
They was in the lab.
Okay, and you know what they were doing in the lab, right? I understand what you're saying. This is why I say we have to research and not be afraid to look at stuff. They tell you don't go into this book, don't go into that Bible. This is the only one you need. I mean, I talk to Dawid all the time. We find things in other versions that they clearly tried to hide stuff in the KJV, and we find it in another book, in another Bible. And I'm going, look what they tried to hide. We see it all the time.
Yep.
So it's dumb. It's dumb, brother. I'm glad you added that, because that was something that I've been wanting to say for a long time. They've done something to the book. Yes, they have. Even though we can find the truth, but they have done something.
Because, see, I heard the brothers amongst us, you know, what are we going to do? We can't fight tanks and we can't fight this mighty army. Yes, we can. Now I don't hear talk, you can't destroy the devil. Where can evil be destroyed? I mean, it's like we just, you know, we got too much of that Bible in our face and we ain't trying to look for true solutions when it's right there in the book.
Brother Joseph,
I got to resist this thing, because I'm not going to let this thing march me off to a concentration camp somewhere.
Brother Jojo,
please.
Hey, you know you already won, right?
Say again.
I say you know you already won, right?
Already won.
I say you already won.
Oh, but far as I look at reality, I'm seeing the United States under siege. You know, you got all these soldiers in this country under United Nations command. So when these people come in the streets, what am I supposed to do? Get on my knees and hope that I be resurrected? I can't, you know.
Or raptured.
I'm not, you know, that's not reality for me. You know, it's like I'm, you know, I want to do what Melchizedek did. My solution is not to get on my knees. I'm gonna resist this thing any kind of way that my instinct tells me. You know, he who tried to save his life will lose his life. That don't make sense to me. So I'm just saying, man, this sign is he the most saddest beast in the field. That like in the time of Job, he was right there with the righteous. I'm just saying, you know, it got to be another way than what the brothers be saying.
Listen,
you know, they say like literally get on your knees.
Listen to this, brother.
One more call, brother.
But I don't want to lose this point. I want to interject this right here. I'm awake to what's happening. You're awake to what's happening. Brother D's awake to what's happening. We've already won, okay? I don't know how many of us are awake to what's happening, but all those that are awake have won. The question is not if we won. The question is how many have won. Let me say that again. The question isn't if we won. It's how many. And that's the decision you have to make, okay? I ain't scared of no damn Zionist Jew. They've already lied, okay? Their fate is already written. They have lost me the moment I found out who I was. Anybody that found their Hebrew, the Seed of Yaakov, has already won, okay? Now, if you want to constantly run in that mind control and follow stupidity, then that's your fault. But you need to stand up, recognize who you are, do your research, and claim that victory. All right? We've already won. It's just a matter of how many are going to win. Okay, but let's get that call.
Let me see if I can get them back. 916, did you still want to call?
All right, I'm here. I thought you...
916?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I thought you had your hand up one time, then you put it down.
Yeah. Well, you know, I thought he was going to end the show, but yeah, I'm here. I just wanted to add in, how you brothers doing, man? This is Hal, man.
I know you. From Supreme, I know you.
All right. You know, everything is, you know, it's good. It's, you know, what he was, you know, everything he's saying, you know, is adding up. And, you know, I'm loving the way, you know, you study and how you're breaking down things. So when the brother came on, you know, the first thought that came in my mind was, like, delusions and a state of where the people are in right now. And, you know, like you say, you need to know yourself first, and that's one of the major problems. People looking on the outside, looking at what everybody else is doing, worrying about, you know, all the mysteries and you know, the wools being pulled over the eyes and stuff on people, you know, worrying about what everybody else is doing, but what they're not worried about what they're doing on the inside. They're not knowing themselves, so that's where the fear is coming in and everything. So real quick, I just wanted to share, because I looked up delusions, and it is it has one scripture in Isaiah 66, verse 4, and it kind of struck. First, I looked up the word, and actually, it's 85:86 in the back, and it leads to 85:86. It says from 59:53, so it's another word that links to it. So the definition of 85:86 says caprice, as a fit coming on, i.e. vexation, you know, concrete, a tyrant, babe, delusion. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, the kind of outfit for what, you know, when you radiate this type of energy and what you guys put out there, you know, like how they try to cut your phone off and stuff like that, you know, it's just being felt. So you know you're doing something when you get reactions like that. And so, you know, the next is, you know, how someone, you know, is like, you know, asking for help but don't really know they're asking for help, and you letting them know, but you can see where they're at, but they really can't see where they're at because they so caught up in the delusion. So then that 50, real quick, I know you got in it, 59, at least 59:53, and then it says from 59:53, it says in a sense of effecting an exploit, parentheses, of God, or a performance, in parentheses, of man, often in a bad sense. By implication and opportunity, by action, action, deed, doing, invention, occasion, work. So, you know, it's rough, man. You know, when you know how to break it down like that, though, you know, you're not bothered about all that, so.
Appreciate your call, brother.
All right.
Yeah, appreciate it, man. And that's real.
Yeah,
that's real.
Yeah.
Because you can tell that whenever they start disrupting stuff and turning stuff up, you just know that, you know, this is hurting them. This is hurting them. Like, if you had a gnat on your arm, you'd have to smack it. No matter how big you are, you know, you got to scratch it.
That's so right.
They can try to ignore us, but they got to scratch.
Right,
it's a reaction.
Right, exactly. Let me read the scripture, Isaiah 66:4 real quick. I also will choose their delusions and will bring their fears upon them. Because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear. But they did evil before mine eyes and chose that in which I delighted not. Yeah, that was deep. And I was just all off of delusion, you know, just, you know, just where it went, you know, when you guys got that call. So just want to, you know, fill that in. All right?
All right, thank you, brother.
All right, shalom.
Hey, Brother D, I would like to actually try to get somebody out there to respond on the hidden hand. If someone has any questions towards that.
Let's see. Let me look at some numbers. I may know some of these people. Okay, hold on. Let me check this one. 423. Would you have a call? You have anything to say?
No, I'm just listening.
Got any questions about the hidden hand broadcast?
No, I don't. Thank you.
All right, sister.
All right.
Everybody else with their hands up, but you want something you wanted to bring up about the hidden hand, because it was a good message, man.
Well, you know, one thing I want to, you know, I actually 323, someone from 323
okay. 323, let me get them. Uh huh. 323.
Shalom, family. It's Sister Leah.
Hey, hello. Sister Leah, long time no talk.
I know. Oh, it's so great to hear everybody's voice again.
Do you have a question, sister, about the hidden hand, or you just want to say hello?
Well, I wanted to comment because I know you wanted us to bring questions and to talk about it a little bit. And my first and main question was about Marcus Garvey's involvement, I guess you could say, in his role, because it seems here that he was a pawn that was used for a specific purpose. Because one of the sentences here in the transcript says that he was the most successful and most feared black man of those in the New World Order. If that was the case back then, and, you know, the FBI is the one who coined that phrase, you know, Black Messiah, and they knew back then that our people were going to be rising up and finding out who we are, then was he more than just a pawn, or was he was just there to be used by the system?
No, let me explain. Remember, there is pawns and rebels. Okay.
Okay.
I will put Marcus Garvey under rebel.
Oh, okay.
Because Marcus Garvey actually brought this to the next level. He united so many brothers and sisters. He created that what was it called? The Negro, I can't remember the full name of it. Y'all know, he created the Negro League, and there's over 1 million. I think there's like 2-3 million of us in this organization. They were scared to death of it. He was talking about getting a ship to take us back to Africa. They had to sabotage the ship. They had to come up with a fake crime to put him in prison to calm him down. And then they went around the movement. They went around that movement that we had and destroyed it through out of fear and suppression. They hired Hoover personally to destroy Marcus Garvey. All this was going on during the time that they were setting up Israel for the Ashkenazis. Now, it's important to understand what Marcus Garvey's role was. I don't think he understood 100% who we were, but he did know that we had to go back home. Now, if you get 3 million, 4 million Africans going back to Africa, where we can be at peace to really study this word, we're going to look in this word and be like, wait, hold on now. We're actually the people here. Okay, sister, because when you look at our history in the United States, whenever we started to read the scriptures, help me out, the Denmark of Visby, was that his name? Denmark Vesey,
yes.
Yep, he was actually preaching that we were the Hebrews. He started to make that connection, and they had a person in church to shut him down. Okay, all these slave revolts, think about it now, they weren't just people that were revolting because they just had enough. Of course they did, but at the same time, they were finding us in scriptures, and they had people in the church to make sure that we never found that out. Okay? So,
okay.
Marcus Garvey was a rebel.
Okay.
He was a rebel. We got 209, brother.
All right, hold on 1 second. Okay, let me get a hold. Go ahead, 209.
Hey, how are you guys doing? This is Sister Elaine.
Sister Elaine. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Awesome.
Well, I want to say, first of all, that I'm so glad to know that you're back on and that you're going to be doing the council meetings again. I know you needed a break, but it's good that you're back.
Thank you, sister.
All right. And I just wanted to comment. Earlier when you first started the show, you were just hitting on a lot of points. You had played that clip. I think that was Martin, right? About the speech that Martin had given about if you can't run, walk, if you can't walk, fly, or, you know, that whole part of the speech. I'm not getting it right, but... Is that who that was?
Yeah, that was Martin. That was the Birmingham speech when he first started coming out with the boycotts and everything.
Okay, so I was just wanting to tell you that, you know, that really was encouraging because it's all the work that everybody's doing, and I know you guys have been talking about a lot of different subjects, but it's all the work that everybody's doing to bring forth this information, to bring it out, to, you know, because everybody's not awake, and we talked about that last year, and people are waking up by degrees, but it's everybody's effort, everybody that's talking, everybody that has a show, even those brothers that are out there and they're kind of being violent, they're talking rough on the street, but they're getting the word out. And so, I just want to encourage you, even though we have enemies listening among us that are, you know, trying to stop you from bringing forth your word and all the teachers, but you're doing a great work. I have a praise report. My parents, you know, they moved in with me in June. And at first, you know, there was a lot of friction, but I just kept teaching what I've learned. And my parents actually now are actually coming around. They're actually re-studying, they're actually re-looking into the scripture, and both my parents are ministers, and they both are re-looking into the scriptures, they're both relearning, you know, this information and seeing it from a different perspective. So the work is getting out there. I mean, it's a slow growth, but it is a sure growth, because this is, again, not the work of one man, it's the work of the Father, it's the work of the Most High. He said he would do this. So we should all be encouraged with whatever effort, whatever level we are doing, because the Father is going to send us like a wind, and he's going to wake up his people. He said he was going to gather us from every nation where he scattered us. So he's going to make sure that this word gets out to every person that needs to hear, that needs to wake up, that needs to know. And we don't know, we can't control the time, we can't control the speed of it, we can't even control the flow, but all we have to do is just be consistent. And so I want to encourage you. I want to encourage Brother Dale. I'm encouraging all of our strong leaders to keep teaching, keep, you know, at every level, the study, what you're learning. It's promoting more study amongst the people, and people are going to wake up. So I want to encourage you guys. Just keep doing what you're doing. I'm so glad to know you're back on, and I wanted to say something. I've listened a lot of times. I haven't said anything, but I just wanted to give you that word of encouragement today. That you're doing a great job, you know. it takes strength to build a nation. Nehemiah was encouraged, you know, it was just a few people, but they rebuilt that wall. And they had a lot of opposition, but they did the job. And so I'm just letting you guys know, you're on target, you are building the wall, and you're not doing it alone. The Most High is definitely with you. His spirit is upon you. You might get tired, you may be weary, but you are doing an excellent, excellent work. And there is real fruit coming forth. So we're going to see that fruit, and you're going to see that fruit, and it's going to happen. So I just wanted to encourage you today on this Shabbat.
Thank you so much, sister.
Thank you.
And looking forward to all our conversations again on Skype and stuff, okay, y'all? And congratulations on your folks.
Yes, it's been a work. I'm still working on other family members, but you know what? I'm not in a hurry because, you know, it didn't originate in me. It's just something that the Father, He chose me, and I'm just continuing to. And I tell him, you guys have your own Bible. This is not something I made up. Read it for yourself, but read it with an understanding. So it's going to happen, you know, and there's a little fear there because a lot of, you know, my family was really deep in the church, and so there's a lot of disgruntled, you know, people are disgruntled with the church, disappointed with the leadership, and they're actually pulling themselves out, and maybe it's not them, maybe it's the Most High pulling them out, and they're kind of afraid to take on the whole understanding that they are the Hebrew people, but then they don't really have anywhere to go. The Father is making it such that if you truly love the Father, if you truly mean business for Him, you cannot sit in some of these churches, well, many of these churches that are teaching lies. And a lot of people are starting to come out, and a lot of our Hebrew people, they know they can't go there. They know they can't sit under that teaching, but they're still a little bit afraid. But that's the work of the Most High. He's going to guide them to the Scripture. They're going to start understanding it. He's going to lead them to the right teachers that's going to help them to understand who they are. So the work is a great work. Everybody's effort is going to be tremendously rewarded because this is the will of the Most High. We're at the right time and the right season for this work to flourish and for it to take off. So be encouraged. Be very, very encouraged.
Okay, thank you so much, sister.
Thank
and
you,
it's
sister.
Really,
thank
really
you.
Good hearing your voice again. Okay, Brother D, is there any more calls?
I think Leah put her hand back up. Let me check.
Okay.
Leah, you got your hand up again?
Oh, I didn't mean to. Should I press something to take it down?
No, I got it. I'll just put you on hold. Okay.
Okay.
No,
yeah,
that's
brother.
It, brother.
This is a good broadcast, man. It's a really good
broadcast. Great callers too.
Yeah, I think we got a lot out. And I'm gonna tell y'all, we're gonna start working on the 12 tribes and actually doing a correct explanation of this. And I want to put this word out here. I don't want people to think that I'm disrespecting the brothers out on the street that were out there years before I even found out who I was. And I can guarantee that it was their efforts and their strength that actually woke me up, because without them preaching on the street, a lot of us would not know this. And they had to get out there boldly. And YouTube kept them on YouTube because they thought it would discredit this. And they had Project Megiddo. Project Megiddo was supposed to lock us up, but it didn't go through. So they just kept us out there. And you know, I guess they didn't think we were a threat. So, but what they don't know is they always underestimate the Most High. And they always underestimate the Most High. So I just want to say that there's no disrespect to those brothers out there, but the challenge still stands, though. Now, and the reason why I want to challenge y'all is because I need you to bring to the table these tribes. Let's go over each one, and let's see in Scripture where they are. Okay? I'm going to do my research. Y'all do your research. Let's bring it to the people. Let the people decide who's right and who's wrong. If you're wrong and I'm right, then stop it. If you're right and I'm wrong, then I'll make sure I do a broadcast and let people know, hey, I was wrong on this. This is what we should be looking at. But as I'm looking at research right now, I cannot do that, and I can't let people out there listen to that, okay? And that's basically what I got to say. You got anything to add to that, Brother D?
No, that sums it up. Just, you know, if you wrong, stop it. If I'm wrong, teach me, and I'll say it.
Exactly.
But I've done the research, and, you know, I've read it. I've read these scriptures that they gave me, and you can't take part of a scripture and forget about the rest. You have to read the entire thing. Sometimes read the whole chapter. You read the whole chapter. Hey, we got another call, brother, 614. You want to go ahead and take that?
Yeah, definitely.
Shabbat
614,
shalom.
You're on.
Shabbat shalom.
Hey.
Shabbat shalom, sister.
I just had a quick comment. This is Sister Jamie.
Sister Jamie, welcome.
Hey, sister, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Great.
I just had the one comment about the movie. Even though I'm not looking forward to it coming out, I just wanted to say, I wonder if it's possible that they could inadvertently wake people, if the movie gets to go forward, inadvertently wake people up. Just like we have the scriptures and we know they have been tainted, you know, with the wrong names and whatnot. I wonder if it's a possibility, if it should go through, if the Most High couldn't just use that also to, even though it may still be polluted, to still say, you know, hey, maybe you should think about this. Somebody thinks that the so-called African-Americans or the so-called descendants of slaves could, in fact, be the children of the book. So that's
definitely
all I had to say.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the Most High is always using their tools against them. Always. They you know, they're not as wise as the Most High.
No.
Oh, definitely not.
But,
no.
That's all I wanted to say, just to know that if anything does go through there, you know, something good can come about it. Just to, you know, stay in prayer and, you know, allow him to lead how we, you know, address this. And I know that there's another thing I had thought of that to be careful of, because I know amongst the Hebrew communities, because I've heard different ones saying things about it, and it's just to be careful not to promote it, if you will. You know, and I don't know how else you could do that, you know, but inadvertently, you know, promote it. Just to look at, in other words, if somebody came out with a flyer or something, just to be careful on how you present that information, because you could be doing publicity for the movie and not trying to do publicity for the movie. So. But
yeah.
I will.
Oh, yeah, we were talking about this long before I even heard about this movie. We've been talking about this for months. I guess I pounded our weed's ears with it. He got tired of hearing me say it. This was before the movie, they even came up with the movie. I just said, look, let's just take a look at some of this. Because, you know, I studied it about a year ago, and it wasn't until recently, well, I guess 3 or 4 months ago, I started looking at it, and I was like, well, okay, I see some problems here.
Yep.
So that's why. But it just so happened that this came out. But those are wise words you just said, Sister. So
yep.
I will keep that in mind, but we still need to get to the bottom of it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, that's all I had to say. You can, I guess, park me, and yeah. I'll keep listening.
Okay. Thank you, sis. Thanks for calling.
Okay. Hey, brother, we have a choice. I can either bring this to overtime, or we can end it and do a Skype call.
Let's end it and do a Skype call, because a couple of people do want to speak to you offline.
Okay, we'll do that then. Hey, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read some scripture really quick. And then
okay.
Close the prayer, and then we're going to close this out. Now I'm going to take from Leviticus 26:39. Okay? Leviticus 26:39. And it says, I'll start with Leviticus 26:38. And ye shall perish among the heathen, in the land of your enemies shall eat you up. Okay, now we know who we're talking about. And they that are left of you shall pine away in their iniquity, in your enemies' lands, and also in the iniquity of their fathers shall they pine away with them. If they shall confess their iniquity and the iniquities of their fathers, which their trespass, which they trespass against me, and that also they have walked contrary unto me, and that I also have walked contrary unto them, and have brought them into the land of their enemies, if then their uncircumcised hearts be humble, and they then accept of the punishment of their iniquities, then, listen up, will I remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham. Will I remember, and I will remember the land. The land also shall be left of them, and shall enjoy her Sabbath, while she lieth desolate without them, and they shall accept of the punishment of their iniquities, because even because they despise my judgment, and because their soul abhorred my statutes, and yet for all that when they be in the land of their enemies, I will not cast them away, neither will I abhor them to destroy them utterly, and to break my covenant with them, for I am Yahuwah, their Yah. But I will for their sake remember the covenant of their ancestors, whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt in the sight of the heathen, that I might be their Yah. I am Yahuwah, the Most High. These are the statutes, the judgments, and laws which Yahuwah made between him and the children of Jacob in Mount Sinai by the hand of Moses. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for bringing us together. I pray that you bless this broadcast. I thank you for keeping it going through. I thank Heavenly Father for waking up those brothers and sisters, because I know many have been waking up by this broadcast today, O Father. And I ask that you just spread it out to all those dry bones, Heavenly Father, waking up, for you said in prophecy that it will happen, O Father. And we believe that. Thank you, Father, for keeping my heart humble. I pray that you wake those brothers on the street up and let them know that it's nothing but love, Heavenly Father. In the name of Yahushua's precious name, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. All right, y'all, I'm going to call y'all on Skype, see you on the other side. Thank you so much for stopping in. I think I will play once again. Yeah, thank you, brother. I think I'll play Martin Luther King again. And it's actually going to, no, it might cut off. Actually, you know what, I ain't played Moses in a while. I'm going to play the song Moses. This is Pharaoh's Host Got Lost. Okay. All right, y'all, see you on Skype.
Moses, Moses, lay your rod in that Red Sea. Lay your rod, let the children cross in that Red Sea. Pharaoh's host got lost. Cross in that red.